Trivia question to start the show. What do Denton Day, Adam Peters, and Von Miller all have in common?
What is that?
All three of them wanted Von Miller to play for the Washington Commanders. I mean, how about a heck of a, not a news dump necessarily, but a news break? Von Miller signing with the Commanders at like, what, 11 p.m. at night last night?
Adam Peters, 10 o'clock last night. I think Linnell had just gone off the air.
He'd just gone off the air, and Von Miller puts pen to paper, or really graphic to Twitter, because that's how we found out about this. And Von Miller signs with the Washington Commanders. They got themselves a defensive end, another defensive end. There are a lot of different ways to view this Von Miller signing, and we're going to attack this from all angles. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Kevin's out the next couple of days. He'll be back on Tuesday. So you get me from now until Monday. Our poll question is up on our Twitter page, at the Team 980. How do you feel about the Von Miller signing for the Commanders? It's a one-year deal. Do you love it? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you hate it? Go vote on our poll question. We will open up the phones in about 15 minutes. At 301-230-0980, Anthony Armstrong joins us at 10:35. Former head coach Jay Gruden is going to join us at 11:35. I woke up to this news, Max. As you know, I now wake up very, very early, which means by the time Von Miller signed this contract, I was dead asleep, although thunderstorms in the area did their best to keep me awake. Maybe that was God saying, hey, Von Miller's going to sign tonight.
It was violent last night.
It was very violent. My dog was a champ about it, though. I was very proud of him.
Good for him.
So I woke up to this news of Von Miller. But I did not see, because, you know, Twitter is this weird algorithm now. It always, when I open up Twitter, it's my For You page, not my following page.
Ugh.
So the For You page circulated Von Miller posting the graphic of himself. And I was like, hold on. Pause. Rewind. I need to make sure that this situation is straight here.
Hold all my calls.
Because you've seen this in the past, particularly this time last year, when a certain wide receiver, who was very good friends with the quarterback here because they played their college ball at Arizona State together, it felt like he was posting and liking graphics of himself. Speaking of Brandon Ayuk, it felt like he was posting and liking graphics of himself in everyone else's jersey but the 49ers. So I had to make sure that what Von Miller was doing was not a troll. I had to make sure that what Von Miller was doing was not like a bunch of teenagers being teenagers and hacking into a Twitter account and saying, well, we're going to put him in a Commanders jersey. I did my due diligence, found out that this is true, that it was Von Miller signing. This is a deal that I really, really enjoy for the Commanders. In fact, I went so far as to say on our poll question that I love it. Is this a lifetime fix, or at least a multi-year fix at a position of need? No, it is not that. You signed a 36-year-old guy to a one-year contract. This is more likely than not going to be Von Miller's last season in the NFL. So it is not an all-time fix, so to speak, but you get a guy that at the very least has the ability to cause a little bit of havoc. You get a guy that has the ability to take some of the younger players under the wing a little bit and say, hey, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, you got a little something going on. Allow me, someone who played the position that you are playing at the highest of levels. Because there was very much a point in time where Von Miller was not just the best defensive player in the NFL. You could make an argument, pound for pound, the best football player in the NFL. I mean, the man literally carried Peyton Manning to a Super Bowl. With Peyton Manning, had a broken freaking neck. So adding that to this roster, in and of itself, I think is a huge benefit. You also address a position that they have not done a great job addressing. One of my biggest issues with what they have been doing this offseason is that they have not had a long-term fix at defensive end. Dietrich Wise might be somebody, we don't really know. The contract they signed him to was a one-year deal, which leads me to believe that they don't really know, because if they did know, they would have signed him to a longer-term deal, similar to what they did with Frankie Louvu last year, who, by the way, all-pro. Similar to what they did with Dorrance Armstrong, which was not an all-pro, but they believed in him for 3 years. They signed Javon Kinlaw to a multi-year deal. If they're only signing Dietrich Wise to a one-year deal, you are clearly skeptical. So Von Miller is not fixing the long-term problem, but you at least add someone that is going to help the defensive line out. You look at his numbers over the past few years, and it's not a lot to be overly impressed with. Six sacks combined in the last 2 years. In 2023, he had zero sacks. He was battling some injuries, only played 12 games, but only playing 12 games and having zero sacks to show for it is not a good number. That is not good. But in 2024, when he was much more healthy, he had six sacks. So I'm hoping if you get a healthy Von Miller, you get somewhere around that number. And I think that's what's important to take into consideration here. What is successful for Von Miller is not going to be what would have been successful if the team made a move for Trey Hendrickson. If you make a move for Trey Hendrickson, you give up draft capital, you then turn around and sign him to a multi-year extension in the neighborhood of $30 million when you already have someone on this roster that wants $30 million per year, allegedly, if you believe Ian Rapoport. But if you make that move for Trey Hendrickson, you are expecting 17 and a half sacks again. With Von Miller, you're not expecting that. My expectation for Von Miller is very, very simple. I want four good games. If you can give me four good games, like four really, really good games, then a one-year deal for a 36-year-old is a great move. Considering that Washington last year played 19 games, you're kind of hoping that maybe this year they played 20 games or 19 if things go really well and they get the bye, but, you know, baby steps. You're hoping they played 20 games. If Von Miller has a really good game once every five outings, I will take that at 36 years old. I'm not asking him to come in here and have double-digit sacks, although that would be nice. He's going to be more of what I feel like is a spot rusher, very similar to what Ryan Kerrigan was in Ryan Kerrigan's final year here. If you go back to 2020, that's when Chase Young was playing his best here in D.C. Montez Sweat was playing really well in D.C. You had that defensive line that we thought was going to carry this franchise for years and years to come. Oh, what a time that was, at least mentally. But if Von Miller can do something similar to what Ryan Kerrigan did that year, I would call this a success. The days of him getting 13 and a half sacks are completely done with, but he can still be a very good spot rusher. So I liked this, Max. I was very thrilled that they signed Von Miller. Von Miller moves the needle for me a lot more than some of the other guys that were on the open market, with all due respect to the mighty Preston Smith, who spent a good chunk of time here to open his career. If it was between 36-year-old Von Miller or, what is Preston Smith? I think he's like 31.
I wanted to say 34, 35, but I'm not 100% sure anymore.
Honestly, if it's 36-year-old Von Miller or 30-year-old Preston Smith, I'm going to take 36-year-old Von Miller.
Preston Smith's 32, you were right.
32-year-old Preston Smith, I'm going to take Von Miller. Because Preston Smith just doesn't have the juice like that. What did you think of this? Were you as thrilled as I was to wake up and see this rendering?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it last night as I was, like, getting ready to go to bed, and then my Twitter timeline blew up and was like, hey, Von Miller. So I don't fall into the love it category for obvious reasons. I mean, he's a 36-year-old, and it's a one-year deal. But I do fall into the like it category. I think he has a lot to offer. I think four games, like you said, if you get, what, six sacks for a 36-year-old on a min?
If you get
on, like,
six sacks
minimum
from
deal,
Von Miller and at the age of 36, that is a great deal.
That is a win for me. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this year. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what Joe Witt decides to do with Frank Luvu and Von Miller, because that might be hell for
There's
certain
tackles. There's a level of creativity that you now have at your display if you are Joe Witt Jr. You had it at times last year with Dante Fowler Jr. because Fowler went on that run in the middle portion of the season where he became a machine, a sack machine for all intents and purposes. You just ran into the issue at the end of the year where you realized as great as he is at getting after the passer, he is inadvertently terrible at stopping the run.
Exactly.
The hope is that Von Miller will at least be good at both of those things. Now, he's never been specifically known as a great run defender. He is a pass rusher first, and again, that's why he was one of the best players in the NFL. That year where Denver won the Super Bowl, he didn't just lead them over the Carolina Panthers that year, who had this crazy dynamic offense. Who was their head coach again? not important. He didn't even know they were in the Super Bowl. He didn't know.
We could be eliminated?
He could be eliminated in the Super Bowl. I thought I had one more game. But he took that defense and took down the MVP, but he'd also taken down Tom Brady the 2 weeks before in the AFC playoffs. He'd taken down Andrew Luck in the AFC playoffs. Peyton Manning wasn't doing anything. The guy couldn't throw the ball more than 15 yards. It was the Von Miller-led defense that was lifting them up. I know he's not that anymore, but I feel like adding... It's never a bad thing to me when you are trying to build a culture of winning and trying to build a championship culture to have guys that have legitimate experience at the championship level. And you want to make fun of all the old dudes.
Damn good.
Culture, right? We love
it. You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Damn good.
Damn good. Still waiting for that. But if you want to make this culture a championship level, you surround the roster and the young guys with a bunch of guys that have done it at a championship level. So you want to make fun. I've seen the memes. We saw the memes last year of Jerry Rice, Dan Marino, that Madden commercial where they're dapping each other up and they're saying this is what Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner and all these dudes are. You can make that same argument in 2025, just adding Von Miller to the party. However, that culture influencing on the young guys like your Javonte Jean-Baptiste, like your Ben Sinnott, who you're hoping are going to be here for a long time, like a Frankie Louvu, or in the instance of Bobby Wagner, if you want to get really young, like a Jordan McGee, who they feel really, really good about, then you're cooking with gas.
Yeah. People like to crap all over this, signing older veteran, the unction, as some call it, as me and Brian have affectionately referred to it as. But, once you reach a certain point in your career where you can't, do the things that you were used to do, you move on to the next part of your career, which is passing that on to the next generation.
Which is being the old dude.
Exactly.
Is being the old dude, being the veteran, and if you are lucky, you get a situation like you have with Zach Ertz, who loves every bit of his time here in D.C. You have a situation like Bobby Wagner, who loves every bit of his time here in D.C. to the point where when these two guys retire, Bobby Wagner at least certainly, because he's for sure going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know that Zach Ertz will be a Hall of Famer, but he will consider himself both an Eagle and a Commander. Bobby Wagner will consider himself both a Seahawk and maybe a Ram, but a Commander. If Von Miller has one good year here, just one at 37, that might be time to tap out a little bit. But if Von Miller has just one good year, he'll be a Bronco, Ram, Bill, and Commander. It won't just be a footnote, because it's felt like for the longest time when you sign some of the older guys, or at least in previous regimes, they would end up just being like the time in Washington was a footnote. And they kind of wanted to, maybe I'm not going to put this. I don't like it when people scroll that deep in my Pro Football Reference page. So I'm optimistic. I feel really good about the Von Miller signing. Again, if I get four good games for him, that is a win at 36 years old. There is one problem I have with this, and this was a problem that I noticed immediately.
Let's hear it.
I saw the rendering that Von Miller put up, which I assume was AI, either that or his graphics team is on it.
I think I know where you're going with this.
24 for a pass rusher sucks.
Not great.
That's a tough number on the eyeballs for a pass rusher. You want to be 24 as a running back? Sick. You want to be 24 as a defensive back? Sick. End of list. That is where the buck stops and starts in terms of where that number looks good. 24 as a pass rusher, yuck. It just does not. Even I was going back and forth with a few of our listeners and fans on Twitter, fans of the team, that is. Even he used to wear 40 in Los Angeles and Buffalo. 40 is still a little bit of a tough sell. 40 is a weird number in pro football. I don't know that 40 looks good anywhere necessarily. That might be one of the ugliest numbers. But he wore 40. In Denver, he wore 58. Tyler Owens wears 40 here. Jordan McGee wears 58 here. I don't know that Von Miller is so sold on those numbers. I mean, he tweeted out himself in 24. I would assume that is him planting his flag and saying, I'm going to take number 24. If you have an Antonio Gibson jersey, congratulations. You can repurpose that if you know how to sew or are just really good with duct tape. But 24 looks ugly on a pass rusher.
I'm going through the Pro Football Reference page because when you mentioned 40 being a weird number, I'm like, who is the most famous 40?
And Pat Tillman.
I really, yeah, that's probably.
Yeah, did Tillman wear 40 or did he wear 41? I think he wore 40. But he's more famous just because of some of the after.
Well, yeah, it wasn't like the football stuff that Pat Tillman was famous for.
Just because of some of the stuff that he stood for. But I don't know, like, I can't think of a player that wore number 40 and I was like, this is great. Like, this looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's a very weird...
It's a very, very odd number.
Yeah.
It's a very odd number. So he's going to wear 24 at least now. I'm excited to see Von Miller. I also like, let me just double check. I'm pretty sure he put up a rendering of himself in burgundy and gold, which...
I think, was it the white jersey or was it the... Because I noticed he posted the white jersey, the white throwback, but he still had the old helmet without the extra lines up top.
Yeah, so he had the... he posted burgundy and gold. He also put the Captain C on the chest. Like, yeah, let's bump the brakes a little bit there. But he posted the picture in legitimate burgundy and gold. So for that, Von Miller is already off on the right foot here. He knows how much we love the burgundy. Not the cherry red, not the cranberry red, whatever the hell they called it. It's not burgundy. But he posted himself in the real burgundy and gold. I want to hear from you. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. How do you feel about the Von Miller signing? And what are your realistic expectations for him at 36 years old? My expectations, I want 4 good games from the 36-year-old pass rushing specialist. I want your thoughts at 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.
I have an answer for you, by the way. Most famous 40.
I got that answer. Doc Walker sent me a text message during the break, and he said, listen, youngster, Gale Sayers wore number 40. And
that's right.
Like, duh. How could I forget the legendary Gale Sayers? It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Anthony Armstrong going to be with us in about 10 minutes here. Jay Gruden will join us in a little over an hour to talk a little bit about the Terry McLaurin extension or lack thereof. But our conversation right now is surrounding Von Miller. What are expectations for Von Miller? He just signed with the Commanders last night. He posted a picture of himself in the burgundy and gold wearing number 24. I don't love the number 24, but if Von Miller ends up being a badass in Washington, he can wear whatever number that he would like. So we're taking some of your phone calls now with 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. How do you feel about the Von Miller signing? Not a long-term answer at defensive end, but at the very least, you now have a pass rushing specialist. Let's go to Eric in Norfolk. Eric, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up, Denton? How y'all doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Hope you are.
Man, I'm doing good. So, yeah, I logged on to Twitter last night trying to see if there was any kind of signing news, and I saw that there was a signing. It just wasn't the one I was logging in to look for. But I'm with you. Like, at first when I saw it, I was like, huh, that's interesting. I think all along, Za'Darius Smith was kind of the one I was hoping might kind of land. But, you know, Von Miller's good as far as
that. Oh, hold up. Sorry. My stream was a little delayed.
I think Von Miller's veteran presence is going to be great for the locker room. Kind of what you said, give us 4 games. Also, maybe give us 4 clutch games. You know, make it like, I don't want that to be a good game against the Giants or something. Like, give us like a really good game against a solid opponent. But, give us 4 games, 2 of those against the Eagles, right? So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at.
4 good games with all of them being backloaded.
Right. Exactly. You know, having Wagner, everyone having just a great game, I think it's fine. I think it's a fine. I wouldn't say that I'm kind of somewhere between I like it and maybe a little indifferent. I just don't think he didn't start any games for Buffalo last year, so we can't expect him to do but so much.
Right. Eric, appreciate the call. Great call as always. That is important to mention. He did play a majority of the season. I think he played 16 games for Buffalo in 2025. He did not start any of those games. He was very much a pass rushing specialist, which is fine. That's what he is going to be here. He is not your 80% of snaps player. He's going to play probably in the neighborhood of 25 to maybe 40% of snaps. Again, very similar to what Ryan Kerrigan did his final year in DC. It'll be something like that. And then you hope that in those snaps, he takes advantage of the reps and of those opportunities and gets after the quarterback. So he played 13 games in Buffalo in 2024, and he had 6 sacks in 13 games. He had 8 sacks in 2022, where he was the starter in Buffalo for 11 of those games. 2023, he had nothing. He played 12 games, but he had no sacks. So you don't want what he did in 2023, but I will be very, very happy if he goes. I want to play more in 13 games, but if he goes 17 games and has 6.5 or 7 sacks, even if it's 5.5 sacks, but those sacks are clutch, those sacks are really nicely timed based off of where their schedule lies out, and hopefully those sacks come in like December, January, February, anybody? Can I knock on wood there? As long as those sacks end up being clutch sacks, I would be very much into that. You can vote on our poll question at the Team 980. How do you feel about the Von Miller signing? Love it, like it, don't like it, hate it? You can join our conversation on the phones at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to my guy Ross in Tampa. Ross, what's going on?
Hey, D-Day, if I had your number, man, I'd have texted you another name, so I Instagram DM'd you the name instead. You can't forget about Mike Allstott. That's the only position where you can wear 40 and it looks good when you got That's your true. Hand in the dirt running the ball. Maybe a tight end, but I don't know. So, yeah, basically what I told Max, man, I was just saying, like, with Von Miller, just with his age, his mileage, the position, and all the wear and tear that it was going to bring over the years, I want to see him sprinkled out throughout the season. I just don't really feel comfortable watching him play every single down. I was saying how I want to see Jordan McGee looking up to Bobby Wagner. I want that for the younger defensive ends too. So when they kind of see what the veterans got going on the field, and when their name's called, they learn from some future Hall of Famers. They go out there, they do their thing. But yeah, for a 37-year-old D-Day, I just don't want to see him out there every single play, because, you know, the more likely the injury's going to happen, and then it's going to be like, ah, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick all over again type of stuff.
Yeah, keep him away from water slides. Allegedly. Allegedly. That's not confirmed. Allegedly.
Oh, man. Hey.
Ross, ahead, I appreciate buddy. It as always, my friend.
Yes,
I appreciate
sir, man.
It.
Get here from me, buddy.
We are on YouTube. You can watch us on YouTube at the Team 980. A great point made in the chat. I don't know how often Kevin references the chat, but I'm going to reference the chat because I have it pulled up. Marcus brings up a really, really great point. Von Miller could make a huge impact on guys like Josh Connerly Jr. in teaching him some of the moves that great defensive players are going to use throughout the course of the season. So when you're going up against great defensive linemen, how can you prepare? Well, having the ability to pick Von Miller's brain on the other side and constantly working against him in practice could be heavily beneficial for a rookie. So Marcus, that is a hell of a point. I love that point. I'm trying to find the amount of snaps that Von Miller actually played in 2024. Football Reference doesn't have it, so I'm going to have to go to Pro Football Focus and pull that up. I just want to see what that actual number is and try and get an idea of what the number that he will play here is. It's not going to be a majority. If he even gets close to 50%, I would say something is maybe going really, really right in that Von Miller is just absolutely dominating the opposition, but I can't imagine he's going to play 50% of the snaps. Let's go to Ricardo in Northeast. Ricardo, what's going on?
Yes, yes, yes. Grand Rising. Good morning. I think it's a good signing. There's a specialized pass rusher. How many sacks did he get last year?
He had 6 last year.
Six. Okay. If he gets at least that many, he may get more as a specialized pass rusher. Now, as far as these numbers with 24 and 40 for the linebacker, I don't particularly like, but if he, you know, gets the sacks, that's fine. But you were saying the most famous number 40, and this is showing you guys' age, the younger generation. Ever heard of Gale Sayers?
Doc texted me as soon as I said that and went to break, and I was like, how did I forget Gale Sayers? Like, yes, I'm such a youthful moron I am. I know.
Yeah, but there's not really a whole bunch of 40s I can think of that were great off the bat, but Gale Sayers immediately came to mind, and Doc, yeah, that's my man. He knows me. But anyway, all right, good subject, and I think it's a good sign. A specialized pass rusher. I don't think he's going to play a lot of snaps. We use him as a specialized pass rusher. I think that would be ideal. But thanks, man. Good show.
Yeah, Ricardo, appreciate it. So Von Miller played 332 snaps at defensive line. Also played two snaps on punt return. I would not like to see Von Miller playing punt return this year, but 332 snaps. And I'm looking across his game log. So there was a bunch of regular season games that he missed, but he did play in all of Buffalo's playoff games. In the 13 games that he played in 2025, only one game, that came in week 16, did he play more than 30 snaps. So just to give you an idea, that's how he was used in Buffalo last year. I can't imagine that Washington is going to deviate too heavily from that, at least in terms of those snap counts. So I would imagine somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 snaps as your pass rushing specialist, and then really utilizing him to help bring up guys like Javonte Jean-Baptiste or work with some of the young offensive linemen, Josh Connerly Jr., Brandon Coleman, maybe some of the other guys that they signed this offseason, like a Dietrich Wise. Wise has been in the NFL for a number of years, but getting to have the ability to pick the brain of a guy that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer is a very nice luxury to have. We'll continue taking some of your calls here. Let's go to Samaj in B-more, the Violator. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, what's up, Denton D? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Hope you are, too.
It's all good, man. Even Max, thanks for taking my call, as always. Hey, I don't see nothing, but this is just win-win. I look at Vaughn at this point in his career. He still has something left in the tank, but we all know it's probably less than half full. So, yeah, sprinkle him out. Use him at what he does best, third down, you know, sack master specialist time, get him in there. And I just look at him as quality depth. You know, he should be an excellent backup to Frankie. I'm sure the coaching staff will probably do some things with him and Frankie playing together. And guess who's coming and where they're coming from with the OC side and the quarterbacks, the opposition quarterback. So I just look at his quality depth. Great move by AP. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep everybody safe. Let's get to training camp, and let's get back to where we were last year and kick in the damn door. It's the B-more Violator out. Thanks for taking my call.
Samaj, appreciate it. As always, I am very much in favor of kicking down the damn door, especially on the defensive front. Our guy Gregory in the chat says they should have gone after Cam Jordan instead of signing a 36-year-old. I mean, Cam Jordan is not that much younger than Von Miller. So I will take Von Miller, knowing that he is a surefire Hall of Famer that'll be able to impart a little bit of wisdom on some of the younger guys. Mark is in Largo. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, this is what's up, Denton Day? How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man.
This
hope you are.
Hear you, but this is a good move. This is a great move. And I think actually I don't think they're going to stop here. It would not shock me if they get another guy next month. It could be Jadeveon Clowney. Could be Za'Darius Smith. It would not shock me because I think what they have done is they've done everything. What people don't realize, they've done everything they could on the defensive side of the ball as far as stopping the run, hitting Kinlaw, getting Goldman, plugging up the middle, and then they're going to switch Kinlaw on the outside when they have to on some downs as well, too. I think that's going to help them out. That's why I was telling you in your screen call, the most important thing now, and this was a good sign I heard with Trey Amos being in the building, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Hopefully we can get him done today, get his behind in there tomorrow. We need Trey in there. We need Trey because unlike Terry can come in 3 weeks or he can come in this time next month. Everything will be right with the world. And that'll be fine for Terry McLaurin. He'll be okay. As long as we get Terry in before Labor Day, we'll be fine.
Right.
But Trey's got to be in there tomorrow. Trey's got to be in there, and this defense could do something. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Brian Robinson, if Merritt shows something in camp, I've been beating his drum all summer. I think Brian could either be cut or traded because, look, he's not even average. And I've been doing this rant on Chris's show, doing it on this show. Brian Robinson right now, you the next man up, man.
In order for that to happen, Mark, I appreciate it. We got Anthony Armstrong coming up here, so I'm going to have to let you go. In order for that to happen, Ja'Cory Crooks-Merritt would have to show a whole lot of something. You know, Brian Robinson is actually in a nice spot because Austin Ekeler is not an every down back, and I don't know that it would make a ton of sense to cut a guy that you just can let walk in free agency next year anyway in favor of a guy that you haven't actually seen play. So you got to see Ja'Cory Crooks-Merritt play before you can put all of the eggs in the basket. But I do think that there is a real potential that Truxy Merritt ends up being a really good player. He didn't play in 2024 because the NCAA was on the NCAA, right? They're just kind of head in the sand, suspending guys for no real reason. B-Rob's job, as far as I'm concerned, is safe right now. And they told us that by waiting until the seventh round to pick a running back. I want him to be better, and I want statistically his production to be better, but I think his job is very safe as we sit here at the moment. Coming up next, Anthony Armstrong, former wide receiver for the Redskins, rather, played multiple years here, host the Believe in Commanders podcast. We'll get his thoughts on their offseason and what is going on with that Terry McLaurin contract extension. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.
All right, let me be the first to issue a very special welcome to Washington to Von Miller. He announced last night via his Instagram in a caption, DC, what's good? The 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, and 2-time Super Bowl champion has signed a 1-year deal in Washington to chase another Super Bowl ring, and Washington gets a much-needed pass rusher. Also, meanwhile, the Wiz, they fall to the Utah Jazz in the Summer League, 86-76. The Wiz kids, Alex Sarr, Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Will Riley, and Trey Johnson all did not play due to coach's decision. A.J. Johnson led the team in points for the second game in a row. He had 25. Also, over the weekend, MLB All-Star Ketel Marte, his home was robbed during the All-Star break, this likely in connection with a slew of athletes having their homes robbed while traveling for games, including Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. Items that were stolen include a litany of personal items as well as jewelry. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Thursday. You can find me on Twitter at TheDentonDay. Big topic of conversation. It's the subject of our poll question. How do you feel about the Commanders signing Von Miller? You can go vote at the Team 980. We will continue taking your calls on that topic shortly, but now we head to the phones. Welcome on a former Redskin, my guy Anthony Armstrong. You can find him on Twitter at RatedArmstrong. Anthony, appreciate you joining me, my friend. Hope you're doing well. What are your thoughts on the team signing Von Miller?
Double D, what's going on, man? You know, I think the signing is strategic. I'm thinking late season, you need a big third down stop, you get Von Miller on the field. Who else would you rather have getting after the passer, especially if you look at the way our schedule is laid out? You got Philly twice late in the season. You got Dallas, and you're going to have New York. It's necessary to have somebody that's going to be able to get after the passer, especially since they didn't fill that role earlier in the season or in the offseason and through the draft.
I'm excited. I said in the opening of our show, Anthony, that I want 4 really good games. If I can get 4 games where, like you mentioned, he has that clutch sack, it's late in the season, he makes a big play, then a 1-year deal for a 36-year-old is perfect to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know what he's brought there for. You're not asking him to start and just hold it down for 3 down straight. No, he's coming in for a specific purpose. And, you know, if he's still at the top of his game like he has been, and he showed up big for Buffalo, so why not put him on your side and get him in the burgundy and gold?
So, Anthony, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, not just because I want to hear your thoughts on the entire offseason for Washington, but the Terry McLaurin contract extension thing has been obviously a massive story this week because he had some media availability. I'm curious from your perspective as a guy that played the position, how are you viewing this back and forth between Terry and the team right now?
You know, I mean, I feel like right now it is a natural dead period where, you know, scouts and personnel and coaches are generally on vacation before they get into training camp. So maybe they're waiting to have everybody in the building before they make this last push. But it's kind of tough because on one side, I mean, he is under contract, and there are a lot of ways that the team can handle it. But it feels like how everything else has happened off the field, from, you know, just tying the jerseys and Art Monk and them doing so many things right, to have this be a potential distraction leading to training camp just doesn't seem right. So I feel like something's going to happen, but you just have to be patient. So my fingers are crossed. If they're not calling me to come out there and play, I'm not doing it. So I need Terry. I need 17 in training camp.
What do you think is a good number for him? The rumor is $30 million. I thought it would be closer to $32 million. Are you in that ballpark?
I mean, yeah. You know, I'm good with 30. And the thing is, he's shown that, you know, he's a loyal guy. And that's why I think you have to make this thing happen. He's not trying to go in here and fight for, you know, 35 and something that's really going to put a strain on your books. And he wants to get paid like he's been, you know, like he's been performing, and everybody else has been getting re-upped, and he's done more for his team than those other guys have done for theirs. So it makes sense to reward this guy. And if you're going to do it for anybody, you got to do it for Terry McLaurin.
How do you think Cliff Kingsbury is going to use Deebo Samuel this season?
As many ways as he can. Like, you know, the Swiss Army knives, he's got the scissors, and then it's got the little nail file, and as many ways as he can. And the beautiful thing is that Deebo's good at all of it. And he's even throwing the ball a couple times, too. So whatever is successful, expect that to happen. I think that Deebo brings just a couple of nuances that are going to make Terry McLaurin that much more effective as a receiver. So I think when you're talking about money, Deebo comes into that play as well, because he's going to be able to take those short routes and those slants and take some of those things to the house. He has it on his tape, his highlight reel. So I know it's still in his game. So, shoot, how are you going to use him? Get him the ball as many ways as possible. Get him the ball in space, and then sit back and let magic happen.
Anthony Armstrong with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. You can find him on Twitter at Rated Armstrong, and you can listen to his podcast, the Believe in Commanders podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. What is your confidence level in Brian Robinson as we enter 2025?
You know, I'm coming in high. Confidence is going to be really high, just because, hey, it's a new season, and I want him to just play free. That's my message to him, is just play free and be physical. You know, once he gets in his mind about the ball and ball security, that's where things get downhill. So Dan Quinn's a perfect coach, I think, to help with the mental side of things. But if Brian Robinson can just go in there and play physical and understand his role in that running back room, you don't got to do everything. Yes, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, but you're going to have, you know, Kroski Merritt get to take some of those reps. Eckler's still going to have some of those reps. We need a physical presence from eight, and that's where I'm looking for Brian Robinson to come and have a strong season.
Did you think last year were some of the, at least the statistical shortcomings, were more on B-Rob? Was it scheme, offensive line? Like, if you had to assess what the issue was, what was it from your vantage point?
Man, look, I'm going to go away from that and talk about the physicality at the receiver other than Terry McLaurin. Because when Noah Brown was in there, teams could not, they couldn't go one-on-one because they had to, or they could bring a safety into the mix. With Noah there, they were able to activate that wide receiver too. He was able to block safety from going too high. Whenever you don't have a physical presence on that other spot, they are able to load the box and then force you to pass to a one-on-one situation with a receiver who may not be winning on that backside. So this is why having Deebo Samuel helps. He can block safety. He can do some of the physical run game and allow Terry to be one-on-one, and he'll still get some big plays. Then you're also going to loosen up the box as well, because those safeties are going to have to back up from what Deebo can do in the play-action game. Getting behind the safeties and the linebackers that get sucked up, they drop it over the top, you give up big plays that way. So when you get too high, it's going to be a favorable box for Brian. You're going to be able to run the physical and get behind his pad.
What are your expectations for Jaden in year number two?
Man, you know, honestly, I expect him to perform as he did last year, if not a little bit better. He's going to have more weapons around him. The O-line is going to be upgraded. And I expect to see a few more big plays. I think that with Laramie Tunsil getting added in there, retooled O-line is going to allow the ball to get downfield a little bit more. Maybe not on the field for 12 to 14 plays, but a good 8 to 10 plays would be good, and a few shots here or there would be nice. So I still expect him to play at a high level, still be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and show why he's just the top talent in this league.
Do you think he might be in consideration for MVP if things go the same way they did or a little bit better last year?
Oh, absolutely. I think he would have been in consideration last year when you think of the scheme to help, you know, this team make that leap. So last year I would have gave him a vote, but if he does what he did last year, absolutely. Absolutely. This guy is special. And when the guys or teams are focused on him, they know who he is, what he can do, and he still shines, you got to put him in that race.
Anthony Armstrong with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. What are your thoughts on the actual burgundy and gold uniforms coming back, albeit for three games?
Man, those are fresh. I like them. I like them, especially getting away from the little cranberry ones that they got. Those always look like the Cardinals jersey. But now you got something that you're getting a hat tip to the top years of the organization, the Super Bowl era. You get that burgundy and gold stripe going down on the side. And plus, you're going to get to bring the alumni, get some of those alums back in the building. I like those jerseys. I want to see a 13 in there. I definitely want to see a 17. The preview had Jeremy Reeves, it had Jaden, it had Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, but it didn't have Terry McLaurin. So I need to have it redone with Terry McLaurin.
Something tells me, just a gut feeling, Anthony, as soon as that contract is done, that Terry is going to be in the photo room with that jersey on, and they're going to be pumping that out on social.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to come running out full speed like the Ultimate Warrior used to do. Just ready to go, man. Like, I'm hyped for it myself, so I'm looking forward for that news to come across my phone.
I'll tell you what, as a wrestling fan, if Terry McLaurin comes running out with like a spear, similar to the way the Ultimate Warrior did in those jerseys, I will be perfectly satisfied.
Yes, absolutely. That'd be a way to start the season for real.
So when you look at what this year is going to be in terms of a schedule, obviously the team was fantastic last year. 11 wins, gets to the NFC Championship. Schedule a little bit more difficult this year. Do you still think that 10 wins, 11 wins is in the cards for this roster and this team?
You know, you still got to set that bar at that same level. You know, I don't think they took a step back this offseason. I think they found a way to get better. And when you're making these improvements, and even adding in Von Miller, you got to think you're going to be able to get a win or two from those additions, Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil. Those guys are huge additions. They're not just spot players that are going to fit in here or there. They're upgrades from what they had last year. So, yeah, absolutely. Give me those 10, 11 wins and a fight to maybe lead this division.
A couple more here for Anthony Armstrong, who joined us on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in. What is some of the benefits from your perspective of keeping all of the offensive coaches around for another season?
Man, continuity, the same voice, the same verbiage. You don't have to have somebody coming in trying to learn on the go. And familiarity is big. Familiarity is big. I mean, you look at what's going on there in Detroit. They lost both coordinators and plenty of other coaches, so there's a lot of questions as to how they're going to, you know, turn things over. But when you have, you know, young quarterback and a roster and a nucleus that's so tight, the whole thing about this organization is everybody's together. Like, they're in this thing together. And it makes sense to keep as many coaches together as possible. So I love it. It pushes me to think they're going to have a positive season.
Which rookie are you the most excited about seeing in 2025?
Man, this has been my guy, Kay Madrano. That's the guy I feel is going to be this, you know, joker of a sort. He's going to just be on the stat list doing all types of things. A couple of interceptions here or there. He might get a sack or two. He's going to free up Frankie Louvu as well. But Kay Madrano, I think he's going to have an impact on special teams. He's an interesting player with his skill set, the speed, being able to play in the box and get active, you know, spying quarterbacks. So Kay Madrano, put a circle around him.
Do you think that's someone we could see? Because most people, when I ask that question, they'll talk to Amos, they'll talk to Connerly. Maybe some will say Jalen Lane from Virginia Tech. Do you think that Kay Madrano could end up playing some defensive snaps late in the season if he really performs well on special teams?
I think he's going to find his way on the field earlier than that, just based off of his skill set, right? Like, you're looking at, okay, we're trying to find a pass rusher. Sure, you've added Von Miller. Frankie Lou, who's been your best, you know, pass rusher, but it kind of still leaves you thin at linebacker. You got Bobby, then you got McGee. Well, you got to see what he's going to develop into. I think he's going to do a damn good job. But Madrano, with him being older, he's played a lot of football. It translates to him being able to get on the field quicker. So I think there's some packages where you can see him on the field, and it allows you to have some flexibility in the back end with Quan Martin and those other safeties and how they're going to get, you know, unrolled into this field. So, yeah, absolutely. I think he's going to play sooner than you think, and their role can kind of increase as the season goes along.
So, Anthony, I'll get you out of here on this. Does Terry McLaurin sign an extension before training camp begins?
Yes. I need it to be. I don't want any distraction sliding into training camp. It needs to be all positive vibes. So, absolutely, yes, he does.
I certainly hope that is the case. Anthony, appreciate it as always, my friend. This is fun.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you.
That is Anthony Armstrong. You can find him on Twitter at Rated Armstrong, and you can listen to him with a mighty Scott Jackson on the Believe Podcast Network. They host the Believe in Commanders podcast. So some really good stuff there. I like that he mentioned Kay Madrano, because no one seems to mention him when you talk about favorite rookies. I am one of the reasons for that. I love Trey Amos. I'm excited to see what Trey Amos is going to bring to this defense.
Gotta sign him first.
You do got to sign him. Now, the nice thing is, if he is not signed by tomorrow, he at the very least is there.
Yes.
So he is taking more of a hold-in approach, not a hold-out approach. That's one of the things as it relates to the other contract that we are waiting to have signed here with Terry McLaurin. I would like, even if Terry does not sign the deal prior to training camp, it would really make my heart happy, and this is all about me, it would really make my heart happy if Terry McLaurin holds in rather than holds out. I feel like a holding in, at the very least, you're around the team, you can talk to coaches, you can be in the meetings.
You cannot get fined.
You cannot get fined, although those things get waived once the contract is signed. Anyway, there is no bigger slap on the wrist than a team fining someone for holding out, because as soon as that contract is signed, one of the clauses is usually, hey, waive those like $2 million worth of fines that you have on me. I'm not going to do that. And they're like, yep, we will do that. So I'm not worried about the fining situation, but I would like him to be around the team. It also feels like it's significantly less of a distraction when a guy is holding in versus a guy holding out. That's just my take on it. I don't know that the holding out thing is also going to work in the long term. I feel like
no,
it'll be
it wouldn't
better.
At all. Because so I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, you still have a year on your deal. At what point do you, if you're Terry, at what point, if you do decide to hold out, at what point do you realize, oh, this ain't gonna work?
This ain't gonna work.
And then you show up one day and you're just like, yeah, I'm here.
So I hope that's a hold in more than a hold out.
It should be. If his agent's giving him good advice, which I don't think he is, but
you know, this week, look, man, it's tough to be a PR guy. You know, PR is a very, very tough job when you're representing something as emotional as football, because there's so much that goes into being a football player. And what we saw this week was very much an emotional stand.
Yeah.
I can't blame him. He wants to be here. They need to rethink the strategy a little bit. In fact, that's what we're going to discuss when we get back here.
Good,
because the strategy that has taken place, not just earlier this week, but throughout the entire offseason with Terry McLaurin, has been one that is a little bit puzzling. Plus, you will hear what one of his teammates said about Terry McLaurin holding out. I'll play that for you on the other side. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.